What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett, and as usual, I am with Amy Zander. Hi, Amy. How are you today?
I'm doing really well, Kevin. How about you?
Great. Hunkered down, trying to get through the days and have my wife not go crazy because, you know, me.
Right.
So,
I have so much sympathy for Francie.
I know. Yeah. Thanks.
Appreciate except that you're highly entertaining. So
nothing
would ever be boring.
If nothing, I am that. That is
That's true. Right.
And we are being very creative today because today we're talking about the artist archetype. And as Marks and Pearson in their awesome book, The Hero and the Outlaw, called it, the creator archetype. So we're going to be, so creative today, aren't we?
That's right.
Yeah.
We're going to let the artist in us fly today.
The juices flow.
Right.
So the big ideas is that, you're probably going to be overdone with the word creativity and creative today, because we're going to probably say it about umpteen thousand times. So the big idea for the artist is creativity, being creative, creative products, creative services, creative processes, creative ideas, creative everything. So expect to hear a lot about that. So
yeah. Yep. And the artist, like you said, is also known as the creator. You could also use the word maker, designer, musician, writer, dreamer, builder yeah. of dreams, things like that.
Yeah, they all have that frou-frou kind of feel to them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like almost all of our archetypes, we have broken them down into sub-archetypes, and the artist is no different. The two sub-archetypes for the artist are the artist, which is all about visual creativity, aesthetics, the look and feel and doing things creatively that way. And then the second sub-archetype is, we call it the storyteller. And that's not just the obvious, like verbal creativity, but conceptual creativity as well. So if you're a business that has really creative processes or a creative approach to doing business, it's not necessarily that it looks interesting or that you're using the right words. It's that conceptual approach that is super creative, right? So that might fit for you as well. And
yes.
We're going to be using these sub-archetypes throughout our discussion. So let's cover some examples.
Yeah. So there's a few companies that you will recognize that are all about teaching creativity. And one of the really good ones is Crayola Crayons. And you have a story about that, right, Kevin?
Yeah, I think we talked about that in a past podcast. Or I was at a business networking event down in Georgia, and I met the vice president of marketing for Binney and Smith. They're the company that owns Crayola Crayons. And I was talking to him about archetypes, and he confirmed, he goes, yeah, that is it exactly, that it has nothing to do with the product. It's not about wax crayons or wax pencils. It's about teaching creativity and having people be inspired and all of that stuff. So yeah, it was kind of validating, to know that we were portraying them properly.
Right. Absolutely. Hmm. Another really good teaching creativity type business is Legos. Kids can get really, really creative with Legos. And as my husband and I know, we can get really creative with our swear words when we step on Legos.
Oh, I saw this really funny Facebook post. This kid sitting on his bed, and it's a picture taken from the doorway of his bedroom. And the entirety of the floor was covered with Legos, like thousands and thousands of Legos. And it said, come at me, bro.
Right? Like running the gauntlet. Yeah. There was a time when my son's room would have looked like that. He's older now, so he does not so much. Lately, he's been doing like models, like tanks and cars and stuff. So that's kind of cool. But he doesn't generally throw those on the floor.
That's very creative.
Yeah, yeah. And then the third example we have for teaching creativity company is Sesame Street. Yeah. So they're all about creativity and tapping
into that. They are.
That's right. Nice.
Yeah.
So there's some visually creative companies out there too. We're dating ourselves a little bit with this one, but I do come across frequently pop culture references a lot to Swatch watches. Mm-hmm. I had one of those where you could change out the interface or the bands and stuff and make them all cool. So those are fun. And then Ipsy is a little bit lesser known company, but they do personal beauty products. They're really creative in their visual approach to their marketing. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have the big guns with how to express your creativity with our both Instagram and YouTube.
Yeah.
Are both good examples of those.
And we you don't come across a whole lot of them where everything that they do is exuding the creative artistry and all of that. But a lot of businesses are very, very creative in the way they do things. And they're usually doing that for the sake of differentiation. But I think that definitely falls in the pocket of the artist.
Yeah.
That doing things to set yourself apart. And when people see how you're doing things that way, whatever that may be, like, oh, wow, that's really creative. Yeah, yeah, you're there. So,
yeah.
Okay, let's do a SWOT analysis. And that is, of course, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So let me start out with the strengths. So, yes, creativity, you know, artists, they envision, they create, they do all of these super creative things. But artist brands also make their customers, their prospective customers, they make them feel inspired and they make them feel unique. That's part of the creative process. They are always improving their talents and they're very meticulous and they're kind of perfectionist in the way that they do things. That's not to say that they're rigid and that they're, you know, they follow a single track. They are very creative in the way they do things, but they are kind of meticulous in the way that they do things. Everything that they do is creative. They definitely have a lot of flair and a lot of panache is a good way of putting it. So those would be the pros and the strengths of the artist. Why don't you tell us about the weaknesses?
Yeah, so talking about the weaknesses of the artist brand, try to envision that person in your life, you know, who's the artist or the musician, or maybe that person is you. So you know that they are just, you know, greatly inspiring and all the things that Kevin just talked about, but they have a side that can be slightly annoying or, as we're talking about, a weakness of the brand. And so sometimes I think the artist brand can be a bit dramatic or needing to have their own way or having you know, the room to have their artist flair or that kind of thing. And then also they can play the I'm the artist card. You know, like, I'm an artist, so .. Right? So using it as an excuse for whatever they're trying to use it an excuse for.
Don't try to understand me.
Right, yeah, don't try to understand me. So, and that's all well and good for, like, a person, you know, who is an artist, but a brand can't really adopt that same thing because you're running a business. And so, you know, and you also don't want to let that perfectionism that Kevin was talking about kind of cloud the original vision, because you can't always just keep creating. You've got to get the project done at some point. And then, the artist brand needs to be careful not to let their creativity trump their common sense and their pragmatism. Right. Again, going along with that, at some point, projects have an end, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
I think as a creative person, as a designer, I was especially guilty of this early in my design career, of doing that to fiddle and fiddle and fiddle and fiddle and always know that there's something better that could be done. It was after doing an analysis of, on an hourly basis, I'm making less than a minimum wage.
Right.
You know, it's like, maybe I need to do this faster.
Right. Well, we're always our own worst critics, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but when you're running a business, you have to get the project done. Yeah.
Yeah. And artists tend to be very self-critical.
Yeah.
You know, that's another weakness. I would actually put that on there. Don't be so self-critical.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, we need to update our page. Okay, let's talk about some opportunities, because there are tons here. Not only are artists creative, but they are seen as the people who make their clients' dreams and visions come true. They make those things become a reality through their creativity, their talent, and the unique ways that they do things. So, wow, what a powerful thing to do, to make your clients' dreams and visions come true. So if you have, or if you know of businesses where their customers are kind of always feeling like they're in a rut, that they're rehashing old ground, those are ripe opportunities for, and it's usually seen when those companies start to reach out to get help. That's why they're reaching out, is because they feel like they're stuck. And when the artist comes in with these super creative ways of doing things, it feels like, wow, this is a breath of fresh air. I would have never have thought about doing it that way. I would have never have taken that approach. That's so creative. And, you know, of course, they become, you know, the magical savior of the day, you know, kind of like a hero or kind of like
the magician.
But
yeah.
Yeah, very
for
much
sure.
So, yeah.
And just to take this out of the realm of actually like a creative type or artist type, and you touched on this a little bit too, you don't have to be like a Crayola crayons or an artist or musician to adopt this particular archetype. So like right now in the current climate of things, we're all having to be really creative about how we work from home and conduct meetings and do things now with this like isolation right now because of the virus. So I've been looking at a lot of really cool programs like project management programs and social media marketing programs and things like that that are helping people organize things. And there's a lot of really creative ways out there. So even if you were like a tech company or something that's not in the quote unquote artist industry, you can still adopt this archetype and be really creative because you're providing creative, alternative, new solutions for people in whatever industry that you're in. Does that make sense?
Right. It sure does. In fact, I think we, you know, because we've always, with all of these podcasts, we've talked about the baggage that comes with specific words, you know, like the magician. Kind of implies the old
sleight of hand,
white
trickery,
beard.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so there's baggage with that phrase. Well, Marx and Pearson used the creator, and I think that in this case, their choice of the word is very spot on in that it talks and implies a creative process, where the artist kind of implies, you know, painters and drawers,
right,
and people like that. But the reason we chose the artist to describe this archetype, because I think it's a little easier to understand. No one is going to think that an artist is not creative.
True.
So, but what you're saying is a person who is creative might not associate themselves with the artist.
Right.
So,
yeah. So, yeah, it's just kind of all-encompassing, not just pigeonholed into that artist, quote unquote. Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So what are some threats?
All right, so some threats are kind of like when we talked about with the jester, you can't just be kind of funny. You know, with the artist or the creator archetype, you can't just be kind of artistic or kind of creative. You don't want to have these like visions that are like, meh, it's okay. You know, you got to be not ordinary. Take things to the next level and keep that artistic, creative juice flowing all the time. And just like individual people that are artists or creators, businesses that have the artist archetype or creator archetype can also, you know, have artistic blocks or lose inspiration. You know, and that's something to just watch out for if you adopt this archetype in your business.
Yeah, we all get caught up in business day to day, making widgets and cranking out pieces of paper and, you know, doing our thing. And if you're a creator or artist archetype, you have to do that. You got to make money and you got to do business. But in the way that you present yourself and in your marketing, you can never lose that approach, that vision, that artistry, that creativity. Just, it always has to come out. And I think that when someone who has adopted this idea and has really truly embraced it, it almost is natural that they can't stop themselves from being that way.
Right. Right? Absolutely. So, that's why it would be a natural fit for some people and not others.
That's right.
Yeah.
So tell us, word girl, tell us
about
words. Yeah,
my favorite part of every podcast when we get to the words. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like, as we've talked about before, infusing your ideas and blogs and social posts and any kind of content that you use with words that are associated with the archetype that you've chosen is a really good one of the first steps you take to, you know, ingraining the archetype into everything that you're doing. And so some of the words that go along with this archetype could be artistic, dreamer, fresh, imaginative, ingenious, innovative, inspired, inventive, original, passionate, perceptive, refreshing, spontaneous, stimulating, talented, visionary. You know, you get the idea. It's all kind of the right. same thing. And then some of the verbs you could use could be brainstorm, conceive, design, devise, dream, fashion, hatch. I like the word hatch.
I love that one.
Invent, mold, picture, shape, sketch, unleash, you know, all kinds of cool verbs like that. And if you want more verbs and more power words and phrases and ideas, as always, we've got a word bank for each archetype, including the artist creator archetype. So give us a shout and we can get one of those word banks to you. They're just $29.95. You can go to brandarchetypes.com for that.
Yeah, you know, I love that word hatch because it's got this visual aspect. It, you know, imagining something hatching, it doesn't feel businessy. It says the right thing, but it's a creative word. It's a great word yeah. that describes something that's being created. And like mold as a verb, you know, to, you know, dig your hands in and to create something that didn't exist before. You know, these ideas and visions that come through these words, those are great words.
Really. Yeah. In the Lansing area, there's this organization that's kind of like a mini Shark Tank, and businesses can go and present these ideas and get, you know, some funding and stuff. And it's called The Hatch, which I think is pretty cool. I've been to a few of those and sat behind the judges panel and stuff. They're pretty cool. Yeah.
So Word Girl, you are dutifully been going through the words each episode. But this one popped into my head that maybe all along we should also have been talking about the visual creativity that's required to infuse the archetype into your business.
That's true. And,
But this one, I can't pass it up. There is this huge amount of emphasis on the words, but it's also, you have to make sure that you're visual. Because how many times do we do things with just words?
Right.
You know, we send an email every now, you know, that's part of our communication. But how many marketing messages are just words? And it's almost never.
Right.
So with the artist archetype, it's even more critical that everything that you do be creative. Now, I'm not talking about pulling out your Crayola color palette and making everything like a circus and, you know, 14 different vibrant neon colors. No, that's, you know, if you want to do that, that's great. That will definitely fit. But, you know, how about just, you know, picking a couple of extra accent colors and being a little bit more bold in your color choices and to make sure that you have higher energy colors because, you know, the artist needs to convey that, you know, super creativity and or using colors that other people might not to gravitate towards. You know, like how many people in business ever use the color magenta, right? Where an artist absolutely can get away with stuff like that. But it's not just colors. It's also concepts, you know, doing the unpredictable, doing things that other people aren't doing. Like an artist would never pick a photo for a web page that had a picture of two people in business suits shaking hands in a conference room. You know,
blah.
Right. it's not creative. It's boring. It's stock photos and clip art and blah. So do things that are unpredictable and have things move around and have, you know, have unexpected you know, visual aspects of what you're doing. And so, you know, like if you go to the Brand Archetypes website and go to the artist page, you're going to have a picture of this little kid sticking his hands out with paint all over him and it's paint splattered everywhere. It's like, how in the heck did he get that much paint everywhere? Obviously it was staged, but it's a super creative approach, you know, visually.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point about how we haven't really talked about that in each of these podcasts when we talk about each archetype. So that is something that we're going to have to go back to in future podcasts and definitely talk about. It's really important, not just the words, but the pictures too.
Yeah. So we have to go back and redo all of the podcast.
No. I think we can have a whole session just on, you know, visual creativity.
Okay. Full disclosure here. Everybody who's listening, this podcast that we're recording right now is a redo.
Take two.
Take two.
Technical difficulties.
My computer glitched and the Audacity file did not save. And we're doing take two right now. So,
the newer, improved version.
That is right. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about some other archetypes. If, let's say I was to pit my artist archetype, my artistry, my creativity up against like a guru or a neighbor archetype, what would that look like?
Yeah, so the guru or neighbor are definitely lower energy, and they're both all about trust. Not that the artist isn't about trust, but we just didn't talk, you know, we didn't talk about that because it's not the forefront thing. So we've talked in the past about how the guru is based on trust because they have the knowledge and the stats to back it up. And the neighbor is based on trust because of familiarity. You know this person or this company. But those two are very practical and down-to-earth, lower energy, which is kind of the opposite of the unpredictable and spontaneous aspects of the creative or the artist archetype. So that would be definitely something that you could bring out and stand apart if your competition was, you know, that lower key guru or neighbor type.
Right. Another archetype that really pops up that is like diametrically opposite of the artist is the ruler. You know, it's all about power and dominance and being controlling. And that's, you know, kind of flies in the face of the free form, unrestrained, you know, the kind of frou-frou, you know, flighty kind of ways of the artist. And I don't mean flighty in a pejorative way, a negative way. I mean that in that it's, you know, you don't want your artistry, your creativity be constrained at all, where the ruler is definitely about control and dominance. Right?
Yeah. I think another one that could be similar to the artist would be the outlaw archetype.
Yeah.
Because the outlaw is also all about doing things differently and not doing the status quo and, you know, that
overlapping.
Kind of overlapping. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, what other? So I see the outlaw where you say it overlaps in that doing things your own way. Yeah, I get that. But wow, outside of that similarity, those two archetypes are really not alike in any way, shape, or form.
That's true.
Other than that one point. Yeah. But what other archetypes do overlap with the artist?
Yeah, so I think that the artist and the lover could overlap a lot with artistic expression. You know, the artist is all about passion, and artists and creators and things like that are also really passionate about what they're doing. So that passion is going to come through on both of those for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we definitely implied earlier that the magician, that's very similar to the artist, right?
Yeah, where they, like, magician's all about transforming people's lives, and so is the artist or the creator, but the difference there, I think, is that the creative one, you know, does it with, they're actually making it happen and with ideas and things like that. The magician, too, but it's more of a magical transformation or... You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Help me out there. Like, yeah. you know what I'm saying, right? Yeah.
A magical change versus a hands-on change.
Right. Yeah, that's a good way to say that. Sure. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there we have it. You know, it's a pretty easy, straightforward archetype to understand. If you have creative ideas, creative processes, creative anything, you might be drawn to this. And when you embrace it, it becomes super powerful in all that you do. So if you have any questions, check us out at brandarchetypes.com. Be sure to follow us. You know, Amy said the word banks are $29.95. Check us out on all of our social platforms. And what do we have left, Amy? We have a couple left.
We have the innocent and the ruler. So we want to do innocent next and leave ruler for the last one.
Innocent. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
The innocent. I'll have to, you know, put on my inner child for next week.
Yeah, it shouldn't be hard, Kevin. I think you'll be
good. Thanks. Appreciate that. Okay, we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Okay. Have a good one.
Okay.
Bye. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.